Hello, I'm Curtis Bowers, and this is Agenda Weekly. Thank you so much for joining me again this week. I really appreciate it. Hope you're doing well. Subscribers, thank you so much for your support. I also want to encourage you, because you probably have a lot of like-minded family and friends, to consider asking them or encouraging them to become a part of Agenda Weekly. We'd really appreciate it. That's the easiest way to find like-minded people is through like-minded people. So anyway, we hope you'll consider doing that. Those watching on Rumble, please like, share, and follow, and consider going to agendaweekly.com to become a subscriber. And also those, all the people that listen to the podcast, there's a lot more we offer each week than just these weekly videos. But those watching on YouTube, you're not doing that anymore because I was already censored last week. So I realized it's not worth my time. I'd been deleted off there a couple years ago. And now just my third video I've put on there, they've totally cut it and wouldn't let me put it on there. So I'm going to delete that account and just stick with Rumble. Every now and then, some of you send me some good content that you've come across during the week. And I want to encourage you to do that. But it needs to not just be good content. It needs to be great content. Stuff that you watch and go, wow, that is powerful. There's plenty of good stuff out there. I'm trying to find the best stuff. So the agenda movie at protonmail.com is where you can just send the links that'll help us as we're searching to find the best content available for you. Anyway, this week, it's going to be The War is On and We Are Winning Part 2. We did that a couple weeks ago, and there are so many good things going on, important things going on, but also things we still need to be aware of, because the other side is not going to just lay down and roll over, as we've talked about many times, but a lot of wonderful things happen, and we're going to get into some of those today, and then some other things to be careful about, but I am so glad that you joined me. I want to start off with what I thought was the most encouraging news of the week. Trump had his first cabinet meeting with everybody there, and he asked the director of HUD to start the cabinet meeting in prayer. Watch this prayer.
Before we begin the cabinet, I'd like to have Scott a couple of people say a few things, but most importantly, where are you?
Right here, sir.
This is a gentleman who's going places, the head of HUD, and he's going to say, you all know him, and you're going to say grace, and yes, then we'll have our meeting, right? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. President. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this awesome privilege, Father, to be in your presence. God, thank you that you've allowed us to see this day. The Bible says that your mercies are new every morning. And Father God, we give you the glory and the honor. Thank you, God, for President Trump, Father, for appointing us. Father God, thank you for anointing us to do this job. Father, we pray you'll give the president, the vice president, wisdom. Father God, as they lead, Father, I pray for all of my colleagues that are here around the table and in this room. Lord God, we pray that we would lead with a righteous clarity. Father God, that as we serve the people of this country in every prospective agency, every job that we have, Father, we would humble ourselves before you and we would lead in the manner that you've called us to lead and to serve. Father, the Bible says that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Well, Father, we today honor you. And in your rightful place, Father, thank you for giving us this opportunity to restore faith in this country and be a blessing to the people of America. And Lord God, today in our meeting, we pray that you would be glorified in our conversation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Scott, that was a very good job you did. You've done that before, haven't you? So Scott Turner's a terrific young guy. He's heading up HUD and he's going to make us all very proud, right?
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank
yes,
you
sir.
Very much. Great job.
Can you imagine anything like that happening under Obama or Clinton or even the Bushes? George H.W. Bush hated Christians. I had a friend that was in his cabinet, an older man I've gotten to know, and he said the first day we were warned by other Christians, don't let him know you're a Christian or he will fire you. And so, but anyway, what a wonderful prayer and what a wonderful opportunity for those people in charge to tell God, we want you to be our Lord. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And I don't know, it was so encouraging. It's what's happened in El Salvador. Complete transformation of that country because the president and other leaders said, God, we want to follow you and do it your way. And a complete regeneration in just a few years period of time. government's only proper role is to protect the innocent, that's through law enforcement and the military, and to punish those who are evil. And of course, it's grown far beyond that, but they're trying to cut it back right now. But it seems like some of that is getting ready to start happening, which is so wonderful. Here's a clip by General Flynn talking about what they're going to do as they're going after James Comey, now the head of the FBI. He has been proven to have tried to perform a coup against Trump before, during, and after his presidential election in 2016. And it looks like they're going to indict him, and he will be going to prison, which is such a great victory for truth and justice. We have seen so much evil by those in power for so long, 50, 60 years in our country, that it kind of has been discouraging because you go, how come they're always above the law? Well, it looks like that's not going to be the case anymore. I want to remind you before I show this clip too, because I've talked about this before, as I've studied the communist movement over the last 100 years, James Comey admitted in his interview for the FBI that he had used to be a communist, but wasn't anymore, supposedly. Isn't that amazing? The director of the FBI under Trump had been a confirmed communist, supposedly changed, but nothing in his life had changed. But anyway, that's how powerful this movement is. But watch this clip.
I want people to understand that Trump's strategy for what he is doing right now, very calculated and very purposeful. And now that he's got his team on board, he had his first cabinet meeting today. And now that he's got his team on board, that you can see that, you know, the guns are coming out metaphorically, right? And Comey is going to be one of the first targets, because what is going to happen, and this is why I think you're absolutely right, that within the next probably 60 days or so, we're going to hear about indictments coming against him and others. You know, there are going to be grand juries sealed and such, and that kind of stuff will go along. But between Cash, Dan Bongino, Pam Bondi, President Trump, and then others of us that are involved in some of these aspects of what we're trying to do, Comey is going to fold, and he's going to fold like a cheap cigar, because once these people are, you know, the evidence is there, Jim, you didn't destroy any of it. The agents are still there. In some cases, they're still working inside the FBI, or they're out. They will be brought back in. So all of this is now going to come to a big head. And it won't just be Jim Comey. Because Jim Comey's going to be asked about, well, who else knew about it? Did you brief Barack Obama? Did you brief the attorney general at the time? Did you speak to Jim Clapper? Did you speak to John Brennan? Did you speak to Susan Rice? Did you speak to Sally Yates? Who else was part of this conspiracy to undermine at the time the candidate of a major political party, Donald J. Trump, during the 2016 timeframe? And then all of that then led into Russiagate, right? Led into the initial components of the coup to basically take down America, destroy this country as we know it, and turn it into part of the one world order that the globalists want. So Jim Comey is the first target, just like I was the first target in the Trump administration in 2016, 2017 timeframe. Jim Comey, you know, believe me, once the evidence is shown to him and he knows it, he knows it's there. He knows exactly what the problem is, and he is not going to get away with this. So Jim Comey ought to go to the tall man's shop, get measured for an orange jumpsuit, and because he's going to go to prison whether he likes it or not.
We need to hope and pray that these things really do move forward and these people really do go to prison, because there's thousands of them that need to go to prison for treason, for murder, for espionage against our country, for many different things. And I think it really is starting to happen. Trump is already uprooting the evil. He's already fired 5,000 people at the Pentagon, which is just so wonderful. But we have to understand that most of Washington, D.C. over the last 50 years, the majority has been totally corrupt to the core. Our congressmen, even many of the Republicans, Democrats, it's just a rotten system that rewards those who are evil, rewards those who will sell out their own country for a dollar, rewards those that are immoral, because then they get these acts caught on video, the Epstein files, the Diddy files, and then they've got control of you forever. That's what's happened. But we should be thanking the Lord that it's starting to come to an end. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., being the head of HHS, is so wonderful. It's probably the thing I'm most excited about, because I know he's been asking God for 20 years to be in that position to really make a difference for the American people, and I know he's going to. Here's a short clip from an Australian doctor exposing to the Australian people how deadly the COVID shots really were. And rumor is that very soon, in the next few days, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is going to outlaw the COVID vaccines in America.
Australia has administered more than 60 million doses of these vaccines to over 20 million people. Australia's governmental health authorities have chosen not to monitor new or emerging cancer trends following the widespread use of these vaccines. It is troubling that the Department of Health has not made data on cancer trends post-vaccination publicly available. It is their responsibility to do so. This is a critical gap in public health oversight. Given the massive contamination levels of rogue residual DNA in the Australian vials, we must expect an ongoing rise in cancers and other genetic disorders in Australia. This issue is a potential long-term health crisis waiting to happen. This matter must be taken seriously by every Australian. We must advocate for immediate public health responses. We need our health authorities to begin monitoring these trends. Without immediate action, we risk leaving Australians vulnerable to a wave of preventable diseases that may devastate families and strain our healthcare system. These gene-based vaccines should never have been considered. The technology had never been proven to be effective in preventing coronavirus infections. The technology had been shown to be unsafe long before it was used in 2021.
I think we've all been expecting something big for a while. Before the election even, we felt like, I think they're going to do something. And they did some things that didn't work out, like trying to kill President Trump, which would have really changed things, obviously, dramatically. But it still feels like something's hanging there. And the other side is going to fight. And I just want you to be aware of that, so we're not lulled to sleep or stop praying because, oh, now we're getting everything done. That's not important anymore. It's the single most important thing you can do, is be praying specifically for our leaders, for Trump's cabinet, for our fellow Christians in America that will be faithful to share the gospel and live in such a way it just is obvious Jesus makes a difference in your life. But as their funds are getting cut off now, which they are, all the slush funds of the tax dollars to the nonprofits that the congressmen and senators have, just the incredible abuses that are being revealed, they're going to have to fight because they're losing that money. It's just like the cartels in Mexico are gearing up, and we have a video on this below, gearing up to start fighting our military on the border because they've been making $13 billion a year off human trafficking and drugs through that border. So if Trump really seals it, they're losing $13 billion a year. So they're like, yeah, we're really willing to all die for this because that's our funding source. And so, but as the Democrats realize too, they're being defunded, all their nonprofits that are schemes, again, I think they will do whatever they can do. And we need to pray that God exposes and foils their plans. The apparatus is being dismantled too, as the big government is slowly taken apart and hopefully will be just a fraction of its size over the next year or two. They don't like that. So their energies and efforts to create World War III, power grid failures, economic collapse, famines, whatever they can do, is they will do it, whatever they can do. I was sent this by one of you this last week. This is a letter from Hakeem Jeffries to all the Democrat congressmen and everything of things they're working on doing. I'm going to read you a little bit so you can see. They always have a strategy. They always have a plan of, okay, we've got to submarine this thing. How can we do it? What can we do? And so here's what he said. First, I've made clear to House Republican leadership that any effort to steal taxpayer money from the American people and end Medicare as we know it, or defund programs important to everyday Americans as contemplated by the illegal White House budget office, must be choked off in the upcoming government funding bill, if not sooner. So funny to me. That was his first point. That's all the Democrats do is steal taxpayer money and fund themselves. And of course, they're blaming on us. It's always the opposite. Trained Marxists like Hakeem Jeffries, they know you flip everything. If you're a racist, you tell the other side, no, you're a racist, and you do that. Second thing he said, at my direction, legislation will be introduced shortly to prevent unlawful access to the Department of Treasury, Bureau of Finance, payment systems that contain highly confidential and personal information related to Social Security, Medicare recipients, taxpayers, etc. Their point in doing that, of course, is to not lose their funding source. Everyone that loves America and loves freedom would be for people going in and weeding out the tens of millions of Social Security recipients that are no longer living or never were living. They're just made up entities. We found now millions in Europe getting Social Security checks and things. It's totally corruption, but that's what they do. Third, in partnership with the Democrat Policy Committee, we will continue to highlight Republican policies that raise the already high cost of living for everyday Americans. Biden increased the cost of everything by at least 30% over the last 4 years because the Democrats were wasting our money as fast as they could to create the inflation so we would need to be dependent on them and government to survive. Trump's only goal is to cut the cost of living for the American people. But of course, he said, no, that we're trying to raise the cost of living. Fourth, Judiciary and Oversight Committee Democrats will detail for the caucus the ongoing and anticipated litigation efforts to combat several of the unlawful executive actions, including but not limited to ending birthright citizenship. It's not constitutional at all, and they know it. But they, back with Lyndon Johnson, kind of got it going because they needed more voters because they realized their policies were so unpopular with the American people. If they aren't creating new voters, they will never win another election. But that's pretty amazing. Fifth, Catherine Clark will host a caucus meeting that includes the presence of outside experts, enhancing our ability to unpack and expose a recently uncovered Republican scheme to rip off the American taxpayer. I mean, it's laughable. I mean, it's just total Soviet propaganda, brainwashing. It was almost funny, but I just wanted to show they are purposeful and premeditated in strategizing how they can brainwash the people to believe their lies are true and to not accept what Trump is doing as the greatest possible blessing for everyone in America. Sixth, we will continue to convene the Immigration Working Group in connection with our efforts to secure the border. I mean, he's saying we're working really hard to secure that border like we've been for 4 years. And they've had a wide open border, even encouraging convicted criminals to come in. I'm going to get more into that in a second. Proof that they were literally soliciting countries to send their gang members and their prison populations to America. The Biden administration was doing that, and we know that now. But over 600,000 convicted murderers, felons, and rapists and things were let in knowingly. That's who they were. I'm sure there's many other millions that they might not have known they had a record. Seventh, The House Appropriations Committee Democrats will continue to derail for the American people the federal funds that are at risk of being stolen. I mean, it's just crazy. Eighth, House Budget Committee Democrats will battle Republicans on the upcoming hearing where the GOP will unveil a scheme to cut taxes for their billionaire donors and wealthy corporations while sticking working class Americans with the bill. All lies if you look at the donations of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. The vast majority of the Democrats, whatever level they're running at, is from billionaires in big corporations. A very small percentage is to the Republican side, a complete inversion of the truth. Ninth, our ongoing public safety accountability project will continue as we detail for the American people the threat presented by violent felons who have been pardoned and released back into neighborhoods throughout the country. Absolute lies. Biden released so many wicked, vile people and pardoned them, people that had killed children and different things like that. Anyway, here's the last thing here. Lastly, we urge all members to once again conduct district-wide outreach today and as soon as possible this week in order to connect directly with our constituents and discuss the challenges we are decisively addressing on their behalf. And so that I read you, that last part, because that's one thing they're good at. Organizing. That mindset, okay, get together with all like-minded in your communities to organize them to resist. And they've been doing that for a long time. But that's what's going on. The warmongers in America, yes, some of them are Republicans and most all the Democrats, they've willingly sacrificed over 1 million Ukrainians so they could continue to launder our tax dollars back into their pockets. That's what's happened over the last 100 years, is we've gotten people in there that love power and control, and they do not love America or the American people. Maduro, who is the dictator of Venezuela, I'm going to have you watch this clip in a second, he came out this week and said, all the gang members that we released into your country, it's because Biden put pressure on us to do that. All the drugs, all the things. The CIA is totally in charge of the drug running into America. And he goes, I don't want Trump to be against us because we did not do any of that. But anyway, watch this clip.
Respectfully tell President Donald Trump, request the reports from the last 4 years from the FBI and DEA offices in Colombia so you can see President Trump, who funded, who moved, who directed the infamous Tren de Aragua, who brought them to Colombia, who brought them to the United States, and ask for the truthful reports. So you know that here in Venezuela, we defeated, dismantled, and eliminated that criminal group, a violent one that was intended to be used from Colombia with deep ties to the former Biden administration to bring terrorism to Venezuela.
The Biden administration literally ordered all the Border Patrol agents to let gang members into our country. The liberal cities in America, over the last few weeks since Trump has been president, has been letting out of prison all the illegals that have done murders, rapes, crimes, drug dealing, let them all out so ICE couldn't get them. That's purposeful. That's that when you are letting criminals go, it shows you are about destroying America and nothing else. They need the chaos. They need the crime. They need the unfair election system so they can win even when they're not popular. But that's what the Democrats have been actively working on since the 1960s with LBJ, is collapsing our system from within to create so much dependency. Everyone needed a check from government, and the Democrats were happy to give it. That's what's going on. But we see from El Salvador what can happen so quickly, and this is very encouraging, when a government, a people say, no, no, we want to uphold law and order. We want to, you know, be glorifying to God in all the things that we do. Here's a clip I want you to watch from Bucaro, the president of El Salvador. But he's talking about the satanic nature of the gangs and cartels. And this is so important to understand. Hollywood and DC are satanic strongholds. Out of the Shadows, one of the documentaries we recommended a couple years ago, exposing the satanic nature of human sacrifice and everything else in Hollywood. That's a reality. The Epstein files, the Diddy files, that's people getting politicians to abuse, molest, even murder young people. So then they have them under their control forever, and they know they're addicted to that. But listen to him, how he talks about that and why they are doing that. I think it's really very important.
MS-13 is one of the major gangs.
And they are satanic also.
That was my question. So very I would hope you will explain it, because very little has been written in the West about this.
They're satanic, yes.
But actually, literally, can you explain?
Well, they didn't start as a satanic organization. MS-13 started in Los Angeles, in the U.S., because Salvadorans weren't allowed to sell drugs by the Mexican gangs. So they created a gang that was called the 18th Street Gang, because they basically wanted to sell drugs in a street that was 18th Street over there. But then division started they started dividing themselves and started infighting, so they created the MS-13. And then MS-13 started outgrowing the other gangs, and they started exporting the organization to other parts of the U.S. And when Bill Clinton decided to deport those guys, he didn't tell our government at the time, I'm deporting this criminal, they just, send them here. And they came, there were few, but unchecked. At the same time, some laws were passed to protect minors from imprisonment. And of course, the gangs used that to recruit 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds. So at the beginning, it was, some youth causing harm, assaulting, trying to control their territory, selling drugs. Things that are bad, but, probably not critical. But they grew. And they started controlling territories. A few years later, they were actually a huge international criminal organization that they had bases in Italy, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, the U.S. Basically, a lot of major cities in the U.S. will have strongholds of
right outside Washington, D.C.
Yes, of course. And you have in Long Island and in L.A. It's a huge criminal international organization. So they grew and they started, killing more people to get territory or to fight against rival gangs or to, collect debts or, money or whatever. But as the organization grew, they became satanic. They started doing satanic rituals. I don't know exactly when that started, but it was well documented.
Yes.
And we, in our arrest, we've even found altars and things like that.
Yes, I've seen them.
And so they became a satanic organization. And even when you interview gang members that are in prison, they would say, I'm out of the gang. Of course, they're in prison, but they would say, I'm not a member of the gang anymore. And when they asked them why, I remember the news outlet that made it this, but it's a very well-known news outlet that made this interview with a gang member in prison. We allowed them to go into prisons and do the interviews. And the guy that they asked him, how many people have you killed? And he said, I don't remember. He didn't remember how many, probably 10, 20. He didn't remember. And then they asked him, what is your position in the gang? He explained how he went up in positions, but I left the gang. I said, why did you leave the gang? And he said, well, because I was used to kill people. But I killed for territory. I killed to collect money. I killed for extortion. But I came to this house, and they were about to kill a baby. And he, the killer that had killed tens of people, said, oh, wait, what are we doing? Why are we going to kill that baby? And they told him, because the beast asked for a baby. So we have to give him a baby. So he said that he couldn't resist that. So he left the gang.
Isn't that incredible? That's what Ephesians 6 says. We are in a spiritual battle. The beasts ask for a baby. And so we gave it to him. I mean, the other side is following their commander-in-chief, Lucifer. That's why it's so evil, so wicked, beyond our imagination, and will continue to be. But that's just a glimpse of how real this battle is. The drug cartels in Mexico, most of our influential institutions in America, the gangs, they're all into murder. Democrats are into murder. That's why they push and they demand, we can kill our baby any time we want, which is what they're saying now. They used to say a woman has a right to choose. They're not anymore. I just saw a protest a couple weeks ago. All the signs said, we have a right to kill our baby. I mean, it's coming out into the open, out of the shadows, like that documentary talks about. But there is a solution to the problem, is when you acknowledge that it's a spiritual battle, that's the only way you can ever have victory over evil. If you think our flesh and bones and efforts and courage can fight against pure evil and win, we cannot. It's a spiritual battle. But here's Bucaro talking about that. And that's why God has blessed that country so tremendously, because they understood the spiritual battle and they realized if we're going to win this battle in the physical world, we have to first win the battle in the spiritual.
So human sacrifice was a part.
Well, in the United States a couple of days ago, I don't remember exactly, I saw the news that they were going to kill a young girl, or they killed a young girl, I don't exactly remember, because it was a satanic ritual. It happened in the U.S. a couple of weeks ago.
So that's almost never described in English language press as clearly as you just described it.
No. Which is weird, right?
Well, you sort of wonder why.
Yeah.
If there's a spiritual component that's driving it, why not just say so?
Yes.
But I guess my point is you saw it as that.
Yes, of course. There's a spiritual war and there's a physical war. And the physical war could be, that's the unofficial.
Yes.
That's the unofficial version. The spiritual, if you win the spiritual war, it will reflect into the physical war. So our impressive victory was because we won the spiritual war very, very fast.
Well, that leads me, I didn't expect.
Because you didn't have competition. I mean, they were satanic. I think that made it easier.
In your inaugural, and I was listening on headphones for the translation, so I just want to check this, you said, we have achieved this great victory and made this a safe country, and that's the predicate for everything that follows. And the next thing we're going to do in this term is to work on the economy to make it better.
Grow the economy, yeah.
And you said, I have a three-point plan, and I'm thinking, I wonder what that is. I don't know, start a Federal Reserve Bank? And you said, the first point of my plan is seek God's wisdom.
Yes.
That is what you said.
Yeah, I said that, yeah.
Why would that be the first point of an economic plan?
Why wouldn't it be? Why should it be the first part of the plan?
Well, I think it should be.
Yeah.
But I can't.
And most people would think that, right?
I've never heard any leader of any country say
because,
that.
Because they probably forgot to represent the people that elect them, yeah. It's like you ask most of the people that elect the politicians, they've said, yeah, that's fine, yeah, I believe that. But then you ask the politician, and he will say, no, that's not. I mean, so who is he trying to pander into? I mean, it doesn't make sense, right?
Do you
think it's a common sense thing to seek God's wisdom?
Of course.
Yeah.
It's a prerequisite for wise decision making,
yes,
I would say.
Exactly. So that's the first part of our plan.
Pursuing God's wisdom is vital to have total and complete victory. That's why that prayer I showed at the beginning of the first cabinet meeting, I hope and pray they keep that up. Always honoring God first and foremost, because he will give them the wisdom to make the right decision. And sometimes it's not as easy as others. There's so much going on. There's so much deception out there. But anyway, I love that. The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. Trump is a peacemaker. The globalists, the elites, they love war because it's a money laundering situation. In Romania right now, which is a country I love very much, and the people there, they are being taken over by the EU dictatorships that are trying to put in a president that they did not elect. Hopefully you followed that some because it's so vital. But yesterday he was criminally charged, the guy that's running for president again. They already canceled the one election because he was winning, and they say he's too far right to win, even though that's who the people wanted. And now they're trying to get it where he can't run because now he's a criminal. But here, watch this clip from General Flynn talking about that a little bit, because it's very important. It's one of the key pieces of the puzzle to stop World War III, is getting a peace-loving president in there that loves freedom, that loves the Romanian people, wants to take care of them, because the largest military base in all of Europe is in Romania, and they're wanting to strike Russia from it to provoke an outbreak of World War III.
Romania is great people. I've been to Romania many times. You look at their culture, you look at their people, and you look at their geography. They have sufficiency to be able to take care of their own country. And I'm telling you, folks, you know, for this audience, this great audience of yours, people need to understand that the globalists have not gone away in how they are trying to deal and undermine Donald J. Trump as the president of the United States of America. In order to undermine him, they're going to take other parts of the world that they can influence and that they can dictate to. And that's what's happening in Romania. And as I said months and months ago, Romania is key. Donald Trump wins. Romania is going to be key as to how the globalists, you know, use it. And you can see right now, what are they doing? They're arresting, you know, they're throwing in prison any of the opposition that is going to stand against them. So the war is still on. We do have a great beachhead. We're breaking out metaphorically, but we cannot declare victory yet.
We've seen over the last couple of years, the Biden administration and the EU officials, unelected officials that are kind of dictators over all the European countries, do everything in their power to provoke Russia to strike them so that then they can retaliate. And once they retaliate, we as Americans have to retaliate too, because we signed the NATO treaty, which we need to get out of. But they blew up the Nord Stream pipeline. And of course, blamed it on them. Oh, Putin did that. So stupid. But they did that. And then it came out, yes, they did. I can't believe he was controlled enough not to respond to that, because that cost them hundreds of billions of dollars. Then, you know, missile strikes deep into Russia with our missiles. And then he had a controlled response of showing his hypersonic missiles that were able to hit targets without the warheads in them, but just to show how quick they came in, and there's no way to stop them when he fires those. Then just a few weeks ago, the head of the EU saying, we think it's going to be a good idea if we can go to war with Russia, and then when it's over, just divide Russia up into a bunch of little countries. Well, that's about the most provocative thing you could ever say to any country, but especially one that has its roots in communism, because you cannot beat a communist that way. They will do anything necessary to win that battle. And something I've seen as I've gotten to know many Russians inside of America that defected from the Soviet Union and everything, the Russian people's love of Russia makes our American patriotism look like a joke. The most patriotic guy in America, how much he loves America, is a joke compared to how every Russian almost I've ever met loves their homeland, Russia. So to think, to even say something like that, you have every Russian, even the freedom-loving ones, even the ones in America, all over the world going, oh, no, you won't. And so that's where we are. As justice continues to be pursued in so many different areas, which we should be so grateful for, it's such a blessing. One of the people I hope really gets what's coming to them, which would be the death penalty, is Rachel Walensky, who is head of the CDC. She should be charged with mass murder for her saying to the American women that were pregnant during COVID, we encourage you to take the COVID vaccine at any stage of pregnancy to protect you and your baby. When she knew in their trials, 80% of every woman who took the COVID poison shot while they were pregnant, lost their baby. It's pretty kind of even sobering, but watch Dr. Thorpe talking about that for a second. This is really important to understand. These are the many people we can't forget. We can't just move forward and, okay, now it's a new day, we're heading forward. No, we have to keep going back into the past as long as we can and finding those who are guilty of crimes and then convicting them and putting them in prison. So everyone realizes we do uphold law and order in America because we're a Christian nation and God designed government. He's the author of government for one key purpose, to punish those who do evil.
Let's talk about money laundering from HHS, CDC, then director, Rochelle Walensky, giving money to a non-governmental organization, the New England Journal of Medicine, alleged probably the most famous influential medical journal in the world. April 21st, 2021, she commits conspiracy and money laundering to get an article, an op-ed with the editor-in-chief himself, Eric Rubin, and the managing editor-in-chief, Stephen Morrissey. Those three went on to do an op-ed on April 21st, 2021, and they pushed the COVID-19 vaccine to pregnant women, and they fear-mongered them. They said, you better take this, or you're going to die, your baby will die inside the womb, and if you do deliver a baby, your baby will be damaged and may die after birth. Right. This is what they said. Listen to it. This was an op-ed, and on the same day, a second article, the same edition of the New England Journal of Medicine, the fraudulent Shema Bakuro article pushing the safety of the vaccination in pregnancy. Same day, two separate articles, and never once did any of the authors of these two articles admit that they had a conflict of interest. This is responsible. What they said was absolutely false. They knew from February 28th, 2021, Rochelle Walensky knew this was the deadliest vaccine or medication ever rolled out in the history of medicine. She had that data. It was in the CDC. And in just 10 weeks of rollout, 42,086 casualties, including 1,223 dead in just 10 weeks. And the pregnancy outcome on page 12 of that report was horrible. Yet she stood there with a bold-faced lie, having bribed and paid taxpayer money to push this two articles and listen to the entire world. And one of the articles by Shema Bakuro was fraudulent. That article was ghostwritten by Pfizer. And when, you know, you can do 11th grade math and determine that there was a 82% miscarriage rate in those pregnant women who were given the vaccine in the first half of pregnancy. And I've published that, and it's well known. And then later that year, September 27th, 2021, there's a collusion with the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, ACOG, the American Board of Obstetrics and Gynecology, ABOG, the Society for Maternal Fetal Medicine, and the Federation of State Medical Boards. They sent out a letter to 60,000 OBGYN doctors. This is proven by my research team's Freedom of Information Act request, saying that if you did not push the vaccine in pregnancy, if you did not follow the draconian HHS CDC narratives, we will destroy you professionally by taking away your state medical license and your board certifications in OBGYN. 60,000 OBGYN doctors. That's why I was one of the only ones talking.
So it was literally purposeful mass murder of babies and just abusing those women so they would have the suffering and the trauma of losing their little babies they were so looking forward to. But it shouldn't shock us, because for the last 50 plus years, the Democrats have been desperate to kill babies, over 3,000 a day, every day over the last 50 plus years with abortion. And so they love death. The Bible says, all those who hate me love death. That is all they're about. But one final step of that, why did they go after the pregnant women? Yes, to kill their babies. Yes, to make money off them. But it's much more sinister than that. Listen to this short clip of Dr. Thorpe as a doctor understanding how they propagandized the medical community for a specific reason. Watch this.
They targeted pregnant women. Right. And that was a brilliant marketing strategy for a couple of reasons. Number one, first and foremost, I've known for 40 years, you know, 46 years it'll be that I'm in practice as of this June, 46 years. And the marketers of the hospital would always come to an OBGYN doctor or a subspecialist of OBGYN to increase their marketing. Why is that? Very simple. Women make all of the healthcare decisions in medicine, right. All of them. It's not the husband. They make the healthcare decisions for everyone, the elderly, the young, their husbands, women, men. 95% of healthcare decisions are made by women. So they needed to capture women. Number two, they targeted pregnant women because everyone knows that the most vulnerable person in the world is a pregnant woman. So that if they could target this psyops against pregnant women, and they convinced pregnant women that it was safe, effective, and necessary for their own health and their fetus, their child in their womb and after birth, if they convinced them, everybody in the world would obviously have to take it. That's exactly what they did.
That's what we're up against. And I feel God is blessing our efforts, and that we are winning because people's eyes are being opened to the truth. But they're going to get the pregnant women to take the shot, because then everybody else will say, well, they're the most vulnerable in society. If they're taking it, then obviously I should take it too. Pretty amazing. We need to be grateful. We need to be prayerful, praying for Trump's cabinet, God's mercy and blessing and fruitfulness in this country on those that are Christians as we share the gospel, that we'll have wisdom. We each need to seek to be pleasing to God in all that we do, so His hand of blessing will remain upon us. We need to share the gospel. Each of you, I encourage you to share the gospel with at least one person this week. Someone, anyone. Sometimes it's much easier to share with a stranger than someone you know. It's so easy to quickly build up a friendship with someone sitting on the sidewalk or whatever. Hey, how you doing today? What's going on? And then I always start with just a simple question. Have you ever been to church or anything like that? And let them start talking, and you'll find out if they have any background in that or not. I was just on an airplane flight with a young man flying back from Ohio a couple weeks ago, and he was a 31-year-old guy in the military. And when I said, have you ever been to church or anything? He said, yeah, I went one time when I was 7 years old. I go, nothing else since then? He goes, no. And we started talking. And as I told him about Jesus, and it was no accident that I was sitting in the chair next to him on the plane. God had put me there because I always pray, put the guy next to me who I need to talk to. He listened. He was, I could tell, kind of almost excited to hear there is hope, there is purpose, there is meaning, there is forgiveness. It was really neat. And then he said, what's funny is when I was 10 years old, I watched a movie called The Passion of the Christ. That's Mel Gibson's old movie about Jesus' life. He remembered seeing that 10 years old. He's 31 now. And he said, I wept through the entire movie. God knows what He's doing. Let Him direct your path and you'll be glad that you did. Our verse for this week is Proverbs 16:1. The preparations of the heart and man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Think about that. He's the one that prepares you. He prepares your heart and he gives your tongue the right words to say. I've experienced that every time I've communicated the truth of who Jesus Christ is to people. I remember when I was thinking about putting my name in the hat to be a representative in Idaho. I didn't want to do it, but I felt God was wanting me to. I read that verse that night before I was to go give a speech and be kind of interrogated by a Republican committee. And I read, "The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." I said, "Thank you." And he gave me the perfect words that night to speak. And anyway, he'll do the same thing for you. I appreciate you. Be thankful, be prayerful, be active. And until next week, God bless you.